Let's open our Bibles together to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28. Wednesday night, Frank had mentioned these Old Testament pictures. And I'm particularly drawn to this one. Look, beginning with verse 10 of Genesis 28. Here we read Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place. And he tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. Listen to these four promises. I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. I'll bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave thee. I'll not leave thee until I've done that which I have spoken of thee. I just want us to look briefly this morning at this passage of Scripture. Jacob, as we see in verse 10, it says, Jacob went out from Beersheba and he went toward Haran. Consider what we know about the man Jacob. Just a few things. His name means supplanter, thief. One who takes the place of another through force or through plotting. Jacob is one of those guys, I'm just confident, if we'd have seen him walking our way, we'd have probably reached back and grabbed our billfold. And probably when he walked away, we'd have done the same thing again to make sure it was there. Jacob deceived his father. He stole his brother's blessing. He tricked his brother Esau into selling his birthright to him. Jacob had made some beans, and Esau had been out in the field. And when he come back in, he was tired and hungry, and says he was faint. He was faint, and he went to his brother and he said, "Give me something to eat." And Jacob saw an opportunity there, so he told him. He said, "Sell me your birthright." Now here's his brother. Just so we know what kind of fellow this is. Here's his brother. He's faint, and he says to himself, "He says, well, if I don't eat, I'm gonna die anyhow." So he sold him his birthright for a pot of beans. He had to run. Jacob had to run from his father's house and from the wrath of his brothers. And while he's fleeing. Here we see God met him. God crossed his path and revealed to him the way to God. He revealed to him all the way back here in the Old Testament. He revealed to him the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11. It says, He lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place, put them for his pillows, and he lay down in that place to sleep. So here's Jacob. He's out there alone. He's away from his house. He's away from his family. For one reason. His sin. Proud, covetous, lonely, unhappy, away from God, under the curse of the law, without strength, without help, without hope, without God. Why? because of sin. Because of sin. Isaiah, turn over to Isaiah chapter 59. Beginning with verse 1 of Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, because it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongues hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Waste and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not no peace. So that's Jacob's out on that path. Undeserving, unworthy. And, you know, let me ask you this. Do you read of Jacob and just think, what a scoundrel? How awful? How could anybody be like that? How could he do that? How could he deceive his father? How could he steal from his brother? How could he do those things? Well, let me let you in on a little something. And I hope you agree with me. But if you don't, you should. This room is filled with Jacobs. Everlast one of us. By nature, that's what we are. That's who and what we are. Jacob's a pretty doggone good description of every one of us. And God's word declares all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God's just to condemn us. He's absolutely just to condemn us and clear when he judges us. Guilty. Guilty before the law. Well, we read that he had lighted upon a certain place. Isn't that interesting? That he lit a certain place. You know, as far as Jacob knew, he was fleeing and trying to get away, and that's just where he happened to stop. It was a certain place. You know, when our Lord Zacchaeus thought he was chasing to see a man named Jesus, and it says when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he'd climbed up in that tree. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to the place, to that place, looked up. That's no coincidence, is it? Huh? Well, let's read on in our text. Look, beginning with verse 12. It says, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top reached to the heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I'm the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God spoke to Jacob. You know, I thought this could have just as easily, that verse could have just as easily started with the word but, couldn't it? But God. Jacob on a road to destruction, And the Lord stops him, and he reveals mercy to him. Mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1 of Ephesians 2. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Will God's gospel, will it reach his children? Think about that. Here's Jacob, again, out in the middle of the desert, running away from everything and everyone he knows. And the Lord God comes to him, and he reveals his mercy to him, reveals his grace to him in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, behold, there was a ladder. And that ladder, the base of it, it set upon the earth. The base of it touched the earth. And the top of it reached up into the heaven. This can be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. None other. He stood on the earth as a man. We read the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We know this. He's able to sympathize with his people. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He understands our weakness. He understands our infirmities, our pains, our tears, our temptations. But yet this ladder, so he was a man. He was made a man. But yet this ladder, it says it reached to heaven. It reached to heaven. He's God. He's all, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's the God-man. Turn to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 6. Here we read let this mind. I've written down the wrong thing. Look back at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, every tongue should confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now back in our text, back here in Genesis 28, these angels, it said these angels went up and down the ladder. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And It's in by and through the Lord Jesus Christ that God comes to his people. It's through Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Look back in verse 13 of Genesis 28. And behold, the Lord stood above it. Think about that. He stood above it. God's sovereign. God is absolutely sovereign, ordering and directing, overruling all things in providence for the glory of his name and for the good of his people. He stood above it. He stood above the ladder, and he made these promises to Jacob. Listen. So God in Christ, in the same manner, through Christ, makes these promises to his people, to his sheep. Eternal life, the glory of his, the good of his people, all these things are in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ. And unlike man, you know what we say and what we do are two different things. What we say and what we do are two different things. We can say things and have the best intentions, but they don't always come to pass, do they? What God says and what he does are the same things. It's the same. Isaiah 46:11, he said, I've spoken it, I'll bring it to pass, I've purposed it, I'll also do it. What he promises, it's as good as done. It is done. It's finished. Listen to these four promises. We read these opening up here, but listen to these four promises that God spoke to Jacob in Genesis 28:15. He said, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. People out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven. And these promises are not just to Jacob, but these promises are to all believers in Christ. Now look at them. First, he said, I am with thee. I am with thee. You know, we don't read that too quick. Think about it. God said, I am with thee. I am with thee. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Almighty God is with his people. He's with me. Bring that right down to, he's with me. He said, I am with thee. Look at Romans 8, chapter 28. Let's just read 28 through the end of this chapter. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Is he with us? He said, I am with thee. I am with thee. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature That covers it, doesn't it? Shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I am with thee. I am with thee. In covenant mercy, in redeeming grace, I am with thee. Moses prayed to God. He said, if you go not with us, if you go not with us, stop us right. Don't let us go any further. I am with thee. The Lord spoke those same words to Paul in Acts. He said, I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. He's with his people. I am with thee. Second, he says, I'll keep thee. I will keep thee. All whom God has chosen, all for whom Christ died, all for whom the Holy Spirit draws to himself, they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Our Lord spoke these words. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I won't lose one. But I'll raise him up at the last day. Over in the Old Testament, we read, he said, I think it was Abigail, she said, you're bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. He's with his people. He's with his people. He said, I am with thee, and I will keep thee. Can you imagine, is there a safer place, than to be in his hand, to be bound up in his hand? We're kept by the power of God. I'm with thee. I'll keep thee. Third, he said, I'll bring thee into this land. I'll return thee. I'll restore thee. I'll deliver thee. Turn to John chapter 14. Look, beginning with verse 1 of John chapter 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'll bring thee, I'll restore thee, I'll deliver. The psalmist wrote this. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble and I'll deliver. I will deliver thee. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit, that he might bring us to God. God who is holy and righteous and just, God who will by no means clear the guilty, God whose law must be honored, his justice must be satisfied. And to justify and forgive a sinner, he must do so in a way that's consistent with his character. That's why Christ came. That's why Christ came in the fullness of time to obey the law, to die on the cross, to suffer for his people, to redeem his people. I am with thee. I will keep thee. I'll bring thee. I'll bring thee into the land. And then he says, I'll not leave thee. I'll not leave thee until I've done that which I've spoken. Our Lord shall not fail. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, in conclusion, I want us to quickly just consider three things. Okay? Three things. First, consider these promises. Consider these promises. I am with thee. I'll keep thee. I'll bring thee into the land. I will not leave thee. Boy, I just have to wonder when he heard those promises, even though he was sleeping on a rock, either he had to be so excited he couldn't sleep that night, or he slept like a baby, resting in those promises. I am with thee. I'll keep thee. I'll bring thee into the land. I will not leave thee. Second, consider who made these promises. Consider the source. Consider where these promises came from. Consider who these promises came from. Genesis 28:13 says, "The Lord stood above it." He stood above that ladder and he said, He said these things. Almighty God said these things. God in Christ, above that ladder's Christ, spoke these promises. All the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God. They're sure and they're certain. God who cannot lie, He made these promises. Consider the promises. Consider who made them. Consider who he made them to. Jacob. Supplanter. Thief. Sinner. Jacob, to whom God later would say, "Thy name shall no longer be called Jacob." Friends, with me. All right. We'll stop right there.